The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
So, when you're writing a book about football, you go right to the guy who knows everything about it, Glenn Beck. That's the first. The literary agents say, you got to get on the Glenn Beck program.
Number one on the press tour. It's number definitely the first stop you want to do.
I have a feeling we're not the number one stop, but we're thrilled to have a couple of guests talking about the new book, Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football.
Yeah, very cool. Dr. Peter Cummings, who's a board-certified forensic neuropathologist. I'm never going to be able to say it.
Pathologist,
thank you. And also, of course, Merrill Hodge, who everybody knows, except for Glenn, because Glenn doesn't know anything about sports. But if he did, he would
but
know.
I would look at him in this well-tailored suit and say, you were a professional athlete.
he identifies athletes by the fashion.
By the he has to have that one specially cut because his shoulders are big and his waist is a little dyed. He's in good shape.
Thank you guys for doing this. Yeah.
This is our pleasure.
Really interesting topic. The book Brainwashed is, I think, really important from the perspective of it gives a little bit more context into a story that people have followed very very loosely, I think. You know, I think I was joking before we came on the air that most people's understanding of this issue starts with Will Smith was a doctor. And Will Smith actually was not a doctor. He played that in a movie. The movie was Concussion, and I think that's set the narrative for CTE and the NFL.
So let me take this, because I'm not a football fan and I have been following this, I think, like the average American who is not a big fan. Okay. So let's start with this, and I may be below the average American here. Okay. CTE is caused by repeated injury to the head because you guys are knocking heads over and over again. The NFL knew about this. People are, turning into vegetables. They didn't care. They hid all of this science from people. And now people like you are out, and we don't know if you have. Do you have any of the signs of CTE?
Well, they don't know really what the signs are, symptoms are, to be honest. If we go back to everything that you just mentioned there, actually, we are here because you're global. And this actual message is global. It's not just football. You know, I tell people, my son's first concussion ever slipped in a shower. Okay, mm-hmm. Now it's 4 days before his first bowl game ever, but he's now ineligible to play, even though the concussion was not in an athletic environment or, say, practice in football. He slipped in the shower because for an hour I was trying to get now. Bo, of all the things that you could have done, and he's the best athlete I've ever seen. How did you slip in a shower? He can't play. I mean, that's just. But concussions and head trauma happen
all the time.
All the time in all kinds of environments. It's not just an athletic environment. So there are so many things that you said right there, and you say, repetitive head injuries cause it. Okay, there's no scientific evidence of that. But in the media, they've used words like linked, cause. There's not one piece of scientific literature that has those words in it, linked or caused.
So
none.
Wait, is there any statistical proof that shows this happens to more football players than the average society?
Well, the issue is this, and the questions you're asking are great, because they're the same questions we asked each other. You know, I Merrill's a former NFL player, but I grew up loving football, but I banned it in my house because I didn't want my son to play it, because I'd seen this narrative that was being broadcast.
And this is
my expertise, right? So when my son became interested in football, I took it upon myself to sit down proactively and go through the science and then look at the sport and see how that had changed. And one of the things you start to notice is this narrative now that is sort of believed that if you play football, you're inevitably going to get concussions, you're inevitably going to get CTE, you're inevitably going to become suicidal, depressed, anxious, and demented. And that just doesn't exist scientifically. If you actually look at the mortality studies that have been done on, and this is NFL players, so it's really hard to bring this back to youth football players, because 99% of the football players in this country are not going to play beyond high school. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that NFL players live longer. They have longer lifespans. They have healthier lifestyles. They have lower rates of suicide rates and homicide rates that are a fraction of the general population.
Wow.
They have arrest rates that are lower than the general population.
You told you that's not the image that you, know? You think of.
You don't.
Because
now with the
NFL. It's that you see yeah. it on TV and they're superstars. I mean, yeah. these are gods to us in yeah. our society. So if you, hear
would,
it,
you would even think that you could explain some suicide from. I mean, people identify with what am I going to do with my life? If you've wanted to play football your whole life and then it's over,
right.
you can really go, that could really screw with somebody's head, even if you're not been hit in the head.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to use this with people to make them understand that. Now, Glenn, I know you've been doing this for a long, long time. Let's just say something happens to you yeah. and I'm saying you can never do radio or TV again. You're
oh,
done. Now, that right there can put you in a depressive state, that transition to, you know, what we call, Chuck Noll was the greatest man I've ever been around, greatest leader and coach. He used to always talk to us about our life's work. He's like, men, it's not football.
Yes.
You know, get your education, use the relationships. You're going to have to do something else with your life's work. Well, when you transition from football to your life's work, that's not easy for anybody. Football player. And I think the more that football was your life, and the more you really worked on your life's work, that bridge over there, the bigger the struggle is, the longer that can take. And then you add the things that we know have connections with our mental health, uh-huh. cancers, and every cardiovascular disease is drugs, alcohol, opioids, obesity, sugar, inflammation. Those are all lifestyle choices that are scientific evidence. They contribute to all of the things that I just mentioned. Well, we control those choices. Those aren't things like age or genetics mm-hmm. where yeah. nobody control age. Nobody can really, if there's a genetic link, I'm knowing it's good to me, that's why I can be proactive, but I can't change my genetics.
Right.
They are my facts. But a majority of all the things that create a lot of the cognitive brain health issues we have stems from all those things I just said, drugs, alcohol, opioids, inflammation, sugar, all of those things, which are a lifestyle choice.
So, and again, excuse me for just being a regular layperson on this, haven't paid attention, but are you saying that getting hit in the head did not increase the problems with people like Muhammad Ali?
Well, I think there's a difference between that, because if you look kind of historically at this CTE science, the first original cases were from the 20s in boxers. And these were guys that boxed all year. And they after they finished their whatever tournament or whatever they were doing their season, they would go box in carnivals. Yeah. They would, you know, do sideshows. So it was a constant thing. So we know that there's a real thing that happens with boxers. It has to be. And it's been really well described in the literature. And there's, so if you want to bring it up to football, I mean, nobody's going to say that hitting your head is okay one mm-hmm. time or 100 times. And we mm-hmm. do a lot of things to try to prevent that. In
people. But that's not the same as boxing.
That's not the same as boxing. And so if you look at the boxing population of people and what their brains kind of look like when they looked at them in the autopsies versus what the football players' brains look like, they have different pathologies in them. And there are some people in Europe and Britain that say, you know, CTE doesn't exist outside of boxing. The Americans are cuckoo. You know, so we're not really sure. And Merrill has said it so perfectly a million times. I'm going to steal his line that with CTE, we don't know what causes it and we don't know what it causes. And I think that is where the science is right now.
And you know something that I think it was the final spark that drove this book is when I went from neuropathologist in this country and Canada. And they all kept coming back to, guys, it's an observation state. We do not know anything beyond that. We have cases where they never played football. We have cases where they have no history of head trauma. They never played sports. I'm like, well, time out. If you have cases where you didn't even play sports and they have this pattern and they had no history of head trauma, how come we only hear about football ones and sports ones? And now people think it's only in that arena when we have all these cases outside that arena. And that's when the discrepancy of what science really says versus what we see in the media was so grotesquely off that I just believe people needed all the information to understand the science to help them with the choices that they're making with their families and their kids.
Glenn Beck.
We're talking to NFL great Merrill Hodge and Dr. Peter Cummings about their new book, Brainwashed. And it's about CTE and the NFL and what's true and what isn't. I did an interview with Dr. David Chow from San Diego. He's a former head doctor of the San Diego Chargers and now does a lot of NFL injury stuff. And talking to him was fascinating because it was the first exposure I ever had to any skepticism from the idea that you go in the NFL, you get CTE. That's pretty much what the media says.
Right.
And he said there's much more that we don't know about CTE than we do know. He talked about, is this true? I mean, is it you know, hereditary? Is it other people in other sports and other professions? What do we know? What is the actual facts?
Well, let me just tell you this, and Dr. Cummings will build on this in a much better way. But when I ask these neuropathologists about, you know, the pattern, since it's an observation state, you don't know what causes it. You don't know what it causes. And they start sharing all of these cases where, you know, they find the pattern in somebody who never played football, you know, never had a history of concussion, never had a head trauma. There's a four-month-old and a one-year-old that they've found the pattern in. Well, right there, you can't obviously blame sports or football.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what was interesting in some of the literature, like even the science papers, if you read the science papers, there's clarity there too that they don't know. They say it 100 times in the paper. We don't know. We don't know. But those people who wrote the paper are the ones that are in the media giving you the quotes where, oh, I got to believe everybody has this that's played football.
How is it that you, because didn't you earlier say we don't even know really what it is? You don't know, I mean, what are the symptoms?
Nobody knows. Science hasn't been able to get that answer yet.
And so how do we know what, you know, when you say babies had it, how do we know if there's no set of...
Good question. There's outside in the kind of football world CTE papers, there's and this is something you touched on a second ago, the voices of skepticism. When I started this journey for myself, you know, I thought I was Don Quixote swinging at windmills. Mm-hmm. You know, like, am I the only person that sees that this isn't matching up?
And that's not how you started.
That's not how I started. Yeah, I started with not wanting my kid to even watch football on TV. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing some research on my own, looking these papers up, I found people like Dr. Chow, who's a fantastic guy. We've talked a couple of times. And I found out that, you know, majority of the people in my neurotrauma world feel the same way I do, have the same opinion that I have about this. And so they're one of the things we try to talk about in this book is try to show that research that's out there that contradicts a lot of the things that we've taken to be truth about CTE. So when you start looking, you find these cases of people who have never played football that have CTE, like this one epilepsy case series that had a one-year-old, a four-month-old, I think 2 1-year-olds. You know, how do they have, and this, they have temporal lobe resections. They take out a piece of temporal lobe out of their brains, and you look at them under the microscope for this protein tau, which we all have. It's a normal protein that helps stabilize nerve cells. But if something happens to the nerve cell, the tau becomes what's called hyperphosphorylated. A lot of phosphate groups get stuck on it. It gets sticky. And so they found this same pattern in these children and in all of the epileptic cases that they looked at, who had never played contact sports. So when you start looking at these cases and you have to say, well, did they even have symptoms of CTE or what we think may be symptoms of CTE? And they didn't. So we haven't been able to figure any of that out yet in science. All we know is we have this pattern. And like I said, we don't know what causes it and we don't know what it causes.
Boy, there's a lot of money at stake against the NFL. The NFL is spending a lot of money to try to help people along, are they not?
Actually, but see, the NHL and the NFL have already settled. So, like, people ask me this, well, what will NFL players say about your book? I'm like, wouldn't you want to know the truth? I mean, at the end of the day, wouldn't you want to know all of the facts, everything, somebody to do the work and explain it to you? And then, listen, I'm not telling you to like football. I'm not telling you how you should change your mind. I'm just asking you to open your mind to all of the information. You use it how you want. Well, the settlement for NHL and NFL is done. Now, but people don't know, it's settled with unsettled science. The science is not confirmed one way or the other. It's just settled. So this has no bearing on it. The NFL got nailed $1 billion. That $1 billion is for players and health issues, cognitive health issues, which is, I could do a whole nother show on just how much money is going to be sitting there going to waste when it could go to other things that were football related. And the NHL did the same thing. So it's over. So this is not going to change any of that. They're not going to go back to court and go, hey, we read the book Brainwashed, and I think we've got to make them prove the science before we settle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because nobody can prove the science. That's just mm-hmm. the problem. You can't prove it because there's no science there for it. But being just settled.
So if it doesn't affect any of that,
no.
Your main motivation for writing the book is?
Families, kids, my passion for kids, my passion for youth football. That's why I went. In 2009, I was the first person, player, coach, parent, dad, that stood in front of Congress and go, listen, my career ended because of this in 1994. We changed what we do in the NFL. Okay, this is 2009. I'm in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. We're doing stuff in the NFL, NCAA. 99% of our football players are ages 8 to 18, and we're doing nothing there. Let's establish a protocol, and actually what I challenged them to do with all of sports, because what I'd found out even to that point, I'd been implementing a head trauma protocol in my youth program for years, that if we do these things, if your son or daughter has any type of head trauma in any environment, do the one thing that's most important. Remove them from that environment and don't let them return. If you just do that.
So your son's never showered?
And okay, you know what? That's a great point. You know, it's a humor side, but a realistic one. Okay, it could happen anywhere in our life. So wouldn't it be better to know about it?
Yeah.
So you remove them. And you know what? Evaluate them. If you need to get them to a neuropathologist or a medical professional to be evaluated before they return to that activity, that's the best thing and safest thing you can do for your kids. So at least do that for them. So that's why I went to Congress. Can we do that? Can we get a protocol to really help create a safer environment for our kids when they're being active?
It's fascinating too. I think
I'm going to talk to him about that shower deal.
the way they've gone after the NFL, I think, has been interesting in this, because the way they portray it is this doctor from Nigeria comes up, he discovers this, goes to the NFL, proves it to them. They ignore it because they want money. Now, in reality, they have some of the top doctors there. There was disagreement at the time and still is to some level.
Not to some level. There seems to be a lot.
Major disagreement. But was there a time that they didn't act fast enough? Did they slow play this at all?
Well, here's where my career and my history is interwoven in all of those people. Dr. Roon and Dr. Lovell were the first group of doctors to ever do cognitive testing in 1991, before any neuropathologist, neurologist in the world was even thinking of doing something like that for sports.
Wow.
Because Chuck Noll challenged them to give him subjective and objective information, not just one, give me two. That's why that test was created.
30 seconds here before we go.
If you look at my career, what they got nailed for, it was not reacting quick enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they're hiding stuff, and they didn't react fast enough. They didn't get the cognitive test established quick enough. It wasn't like they knew something that everybody else
It's not like the tobacco industry.
Nothing like that.
Okay, so let's get into what they did know and the press and how this has all been spun when we come back.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a new book called Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. The author's Merrill Hodge.
I knew you were going to say it wrong.
I always do.
You do it
every
time.
I'm going to punch my ancestors when I see them. Just put a D in there. Come on.
And Peter Cummings, who is a board-certified forensic neuropathologist. They've been studying CTE. Merrill, you're one of the first people that were going through cognitive testing with the NFL back in the early 90s. There's one part of this, the plot to destroy football. Plot is a pretty heavy word. Is it a plot to destroy football?
If you look at, I'll just give you one example. We were just talking about how you can have some type of head trauma. We jokingly about my son slips in the shower, okay? Thanksgiving, I watch a 7-year-old crawl under a coffee table and try to get out too soon. Boom, cracks his head, cuts his head open. So, you know, can have car accident, wheel sports across the board. They got legislation in California to ban tackle football till age 14. Now, you can still box at age 8, MMA fight at age 8.
Jeez.
You can play soccer, lacrosse, every other contact sport. Why would you just single out football in 5 different states There's no scientific evidence whatsoever that contact sports or contact activities, wheeled sports, jumping on trampolines, having pillow fights, being a kid, living life, being active, has ever caused development issues in our younger age later in life. There's no scientific evidence of that. They have none of that, so why would you target this, that? Why would you bring that legislation to any state with no scientific evidence whatsoever? And if you really say, well, we care about kids, why aren't you doing it for all sports?
Why aren't you doing it? Yeah, especially boxing. I mean, boxing is
MMA,
so much.
Everything.
Yeah, MMA. I mean, yeah. It's so clear that you're getting punched in the face. That's the point.
Exactly.
That's punch the goal, somebody in the head. Right? Yeah.
So
until they knock, they're knocked out.
Right.
Hello.
And then in boxing, they do the right thing and they remove them and don't let them box again. I'm like, okay, well, guess what? You don't have, that is the objective there.
Mm-hmm.
So when like all of that is excluded, you have to ask the people, what are you doing? What's your purpose?
What's the motivation there? Because I mean, I think part of it, you know, football gets targeted because, you know, science, health, food reporting is worse than even, we complain about political bias and reporting all the time, but the science and health reporting is worse, I think. The media is terrible at doing this. And so I think because it's, you know, there's a Will Smith movie out there, you know, I mean, there's all this momentum.
As soon as it gets into the zeitgeist, it's over.
Yeah. Right. And that's why, is that why football is targeted? Is there some other reason why they think?
Well, with us, we've done some interviews with the media, and we talk. We have this conversation. Okay, listen, why? Why do you keep bringing? Like people keep wanting to bring back the NFL. They keep circling back the NFL. I didn't write the book for the NFL. It has nothing to do about the NFL other than my career's intertwined there, and I can tell you the truth about everything. And they would literally say to us, "Because it's the big ticket." I said, "What's talking about?" So ignore all of the true facts that you're sending to the people who read you or listen, read your stuff or listen to you. Forget giving them all the truth and all the information. You're going to circle and keep targeting football because it's the big ticket. I mean, to me, that's just a grotesque abuse of your journalistic lack of skills.
It's also a misread, I think, of who people really are. Yes, the NFL is an interesting story, but are you going to play? Are you going to let your kids play football? Yes or no is something that all of us have to deal with. Whether that football player or that football player have CTE in their life and they've been screwed by somebody in the NFL, that's not affecting me.
Right.
But I know in my family, are we going to let you know our son play football? Your family going to play football? That's something we all deal with.
Right. Well,
and you
know,
both dealt with it too.
Right. And I'm going to tell you this. People ask me that, you know, like they ask me, were you surprised at what you found when I went on the journey? Because listen, I went on there with a headline, but I have great connections, relationship. It didn't make sense to me. The numbers don't add up. I've played in the NFL. I go to NFL alumni events all the time. There's hundreds of NFL, former NFL players in their 60s, 70s, 80s. We just had three pass away here in the last month, late 80s, early 90s. I mean, that's played back in the 50s and 60s when you couldn't even drink water. You're considered soft, okay?
Right.
Plastic helmets. And so the quest to find out really the truth of it, I was actually more shocked than I thought that how uncertain they were with everything and all these cases that existed outside of sports. But it did make me think, because I asked the follow-up question, if I'd have found out the opposite. Had I found out the opposite, I'd have pulled my son out of football immediately. I'd have ripped him out of football that second if I really thought this had anything to do with it.
Because you're putting even more than your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, because
this is children. Kids.
Yeah. Right.
And you're doing the same thing. That's why you got you as a doctor into this.
Right. And the same thing. If I had felt for one second that there was enough information there to keep my kid from playing football, I'd be screaming this from the top of a mountain. You know, but I found the opposite. And Merrill touched on an interesting point of his NFL alumni friends. There have been a number of studies from some big universities like Mayo and Vanderbilt that have followed football players for 50 years after high school careers, and I mean hundreds of them, and found that they don't have any increased risk of dementia, Parkinson's disease, ALS, or any of these things we think you're going to get from playing football. They did find, they compared them to athletes that didn't play football, and they also compared them to band members and members of Glee Club. And I think the highest rate of dementia was actually in the clarinet players.
That makes sense, though.
It does.
That does make
sense. I mean, you're taking up the clarinet. Yeah, you're right. Like, there's something wrong with you.
There's my next book, Band Clarinets.
But it's interesting, though, because, I mean, some of these studies, when you're talking about life expectancy, show that baseball players have shorter lives than football players, which, again, people would not think that. But the science is the science. And, you know, you want to look at it with an honest eye and get out of the media sort of firestorms about these things. And it doesn't seem that a lot of people are able to do that, especially when you're making a decision about your kids.
Right. Right. That's emotional.
Yeah.
You know, people get emotional.
So it's got to be tough for you, Merrill, because your son can't play. You just said you're one of the best athletes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He gets a concussion from slipping in the shower. He now can't play. He was quarterback.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So you've got, it's got to be a double whammy to you, because you're like, oh my God, this isn't even true.
Yeah. Well, he came back, though. He
right.
came back.
Yeah, he comes back and plays, but based on when he got the concussion, he couldn't play because it was 4 days before the game.
Oh, okay.
So that's why
okay.
he couldn't play.
Oh, okay.
So that's just the proper protocol in place.
Yeah.
That's why I talk about, we've been playing football for nearly 100 years. And if I said to a family, when would be the best time for your kids to be active and involved in sports? If you didn't say today, based on protocols, treatments, therapies, equipment, instruction, and rules, if you did, you are extremely uninformed. If you picked the 90 up to this last 10, you're uninformed.
Because they have made major improvements, right? Not just in protocols, but the equipment as well.
It's not. Listen, when I retired, I was in intensive care, and I remember somebody telling me, a NASCAR helmet's better than that football helmet you had on. And I said, well, A, why? And B, why aren't we wearing NASCAR helmets?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, a NASCAR helmet's meant to absorb impact. It's got to withstand one car accident. Mm-hmm. So you got to get rid of that helmet, or it's probably going to be
expensive. Mm-hmm.
Football helmets are meant to withstand impact. Our helmets today are absorb and deflect impact. So no, there's no concussion-proof helmet. That's not what I'm saying. But the technology in the protection and how we go about playing, and if you do have head trauma, we do something about it now. And there's treatments and therapies that they do for you to help heal your brain so that you return back in a safer environment and a better, healthy environment. Mm. That's exciting stuff. But we don't hear that because of a headline that is still in the attention that the science can't back.
I remember a headline, and I don't even know if this is true. I remember a headline that said rugby players don't have this problem. And they were saying that it's because of the technology of the NFL that it makes you more willing to really go for it because you know you're protected. And so it gives you a false sense of security. Is there anything to rugby players? And
well, they found it in rugby players, and they found it, the CTE pattern, in rugby players, soccer players, or, you know, European football players. The interesting thing about rugby, though, was that was an inspiration for a lot of rule changes. And that's something else that a lot of parents don't know about. And I was completely ignorant of rule changes in football when I started out with this. I didn't just read the science papers. I went to USA Football. I went to Pop Warner. I wanted to know what they were doing, even if there was a slightest risk. Mm-hmm. How are we improving the game to account for this? When we don't know, let's do something proactive. So when he started, the rugby-style tackling became a really big popular thing. Because when I grew up in Maine, we didn't have we were in a kind of low-income town, and we didn't have a youth football team until I was like in seventh or eighth grade. But we played morning, noon, and night out in the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And without equipment tackling.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody got hurt. We're not knowing at the time, but we were using rugby-style tackling of wrapping somebody up, pulling them down.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of learned that technique on your own. But that was a big inspiration for some of the techniques that are being used and taught now in football, where we did have a situation where, because we had this great equipment, that the helmet became a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And people were launching into players and trying to get that out of the game when we learn more about safety. So rugby has been a bit of an inspiration for football.
So the name of the book is Brainwashed. If you are thinking about whether or not your kids should play in football, and maybe even
shower,
or if you know, even perhaps even more likely, if your wife is saying, "I don't want him to play football," and you want to back it up with the facts that it's not so bad. Brainwashed is the name of the book. Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank
thank you,
guys.
You for your work.
This was awesome.
Yeah, thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
And thanks for setting it straight for the right reasons.
Yeah,
family.
Yeah, that's about the kids.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. You know, I had a mom come up to me and say, you know, who a long time ago before I started this, and say, my son wants to play football.
Uh-oh.
What am I going to
mm-hmm.
do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I explained to me why you let your son play. And so we had the conversation, and she comes back the next year. And he's playing football. It's great. We're a football family. We love it. And the best thing is he's showering every day now.
That's the big motivation for sports for parents. It's just to get the kids to shower for once.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Glenn Beck.
So I want to give a plug to something that 99% of America, if not more, cannot appreciate. But I'm giving a plug because I want you to find a place like this. For the last couple of years, we bought our Christmas tree up in a place by the ranch. It's in Petersboro, Utah, and it's called Adams Acres. And we drive at least an hour to get there, and we can go get a tree anyplace else. But we found this place a couple of years ago, and it's run by a family, and the kids are out, the parents are there, the grandparents were there, and they're all working the farm. And it was just this idea. We wanted to do something as a family that would last. And so we decided to do a tree farm. They didn't know what they were doing. And they were like, oh, this is a lot bigger job than we thought it was. They opened it up a couple of years ago. And it is just, it's like walking into It's a Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yeah. It's just this normal, really cool family that are, and the kids are so nice. I bought a 10-foot blue spruce, $60.
Oh, my God.
$60.
That is not the price around the country.
Oh,
I will say
my
that.
Gosh. Yeah, no, it's not. But anyway, go find a – don't go to the Home Depot or whatever. Go find a tree lot. Go find a tree farm. You know, we go out and we cut the tree down. When I say we, Rafe cuts the tree. and it's just so much better. Now, warning – the trees look smaller out on a tree farm than they do in your house.
Hmm. So you're Clark W. Griswold,
so
basically.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to help pick out the trees, and my wife kept saying, that's a Charlie Brad tree. That's a Charlie Brad tree. Okay, well, yeah, it also will fit in the house. We bought this tree, and it was a great tree, but it's not a Charlie Brown tree. And had to cut like a lot of it. Well, if we cut the back part of this off, we can put it up here next to the wall.
The last time I had a real tree, which was a few years ago, we had it, you know, get over time, it dries out a little bit. It was one of those that no matter how much water you put in, it just kept drying out. And I had to saw all the branches off to get it out of the house.
Oh my gosh.
It
hurts.
It sucked. It was embarrassing. Yeah. And, you know. I'm not a scientist. I could not get it to.
I could not get it figured out. I have a friend who put it into a bucket of water and put Miracle-Gro in it. Just dumped Miracle-Gro in it. It grew roots.
Really?
Yeah, grew roots. They planted it.
That's fantastic.
We should plant this thing. We're putting Miracle-Gro. I can't imagine that works, but it did for them. I'm putting a bunch of Miracle-Gro in that thing. We'll plant it, but we have to make a pact with the family that we don't cut it down again. Can you imagine? It's like the tree would be like, and then Christmas I just heal, and every Christmas they come and cut me up again.
It's like you're fishing and you just keep pulling the same fish out of the water.
It's like, okay, come on. It's pick your on fault. Somebody else.
It's your fault. It's a little lure. Stop going after it, you moron. It's not a real worm. Stop trying to eat it. It's a long lesson we have to learn as fish.
All right. Today on the 5 o'clock TV show, you don't want to miss it at The Blaze. It is the truth about the border. We take the truth and expose the media and those who are not telling you the truth. Bit by bit, very surgical. Today, 5 o'clock, a show you do not want to miss. The Blaze
Glenn
TV.
Beck. Mercury.